We're here with Satyam Vaghani, who's CTO and co-founder of Pernix Data. Formerly, he was principal engineer and storage CTO at VMware. And we are here to talk about virtual volumes. Satyam, first question, can you give us a brief description of VVolves? Why are they necessary?
Sure, Sonia. And by the way, thanks for having me. Very excited. Yeah, virtual volumes is a way for a virtual machine to store its objects natively on a storage system. And so a virtual machine typically comprises of many virtual disks. And the problem before VVolves was that these virtual disks don't map to anything inside a storage system. And so storage systems were used to serving LUNs and NFS mount points. And that is not what the virtual machine is interested in. It is interested in objects much smaller than LUNs or mount points. And so VVolves is a technology which marries the two universes, so to speak, into one, which is, you know, for the first time, the storage system, instead of storing LUNs and mount points, can actually store virtual machine disks natively and also provide data services on those objects, virtual machine disks. Now, the data services part is very interesting and important, too, because, you know, before this, there was no way that a storage system could help out in, say, snapshotting a virtual machine or cloning a virtual machine or provisioning a virtual machine, because the objects that it dealt with, which was, again, LUNs, et cetera, was not what the VMs used. And so now with virtual volumes for the first time, they deal with the same objects. So now the virtual machines can simply delegate all kinds of storage management tasks to the storage system itself.
Okay. So it's my understanding that virtual volumes are supposed to simplify virtual volume storage management. What kinds of functions and features will the VVolves contribute?
Right. So definitely it will simplify storage management because, like I was saying, for the first time, the storage systems will store exactly the objects that VMs are interested in. So for the first time, an application administrator or a VM administrator can talk to the storage system administrator, and then they'll be talking the same language. So, you know, provisioning VVolves, snapshotting VVolves, cloning VVolves, replicating VVolves, those are the major features VVolves will provide. But more importantly, all these features will be provided in a policy-driven manner. So you can, instead of dictating the mechanism to the storage system, you can actually dictate what kind of quality of service you want at the application layer. And because the storage system transacts in the same kind of objects that the application layer needs, which is VVolves, it can make all those quality of service constraints come true on those objects. So, for example, you can say that, look, you know, Mr. Storage System, provision me a VVol, which is capable of doing 5,000 IOPS, and the storage system will make it happen. And, you know, the application administrator doesn't need to worry about how to make it happen, whether it'll require a RAID 6 disk group, whether it'll require some kind of flash cache on the storage side, et cetera, et cetera, whether deduplication should be on, compression should be on. None of those considerations, which essentially complicated the whole interaction, it complicated everything that we used to do. You know, none of those complications will now bubble up to the application layer. Instead, the application layer can express its requirements, and the storage system can figure out how to get it done.
And what are the disadvantages of using VVolves?
You know, the technology is new, right? So there's, number one, there's going to be just the hiccups which come along with saying, oh, well, but did you think about this corner case that I want in my data center? So, you know, as much as I would like to say that VVolves is awesome, clearly, as people operationalize this technology, they'll come up with various interesting features that are showstoppers for them to operationalize VVolves at scale. And so, you know, it's just going to be a matter of kind of getting all those things knocked out. So, you know, feature completeness is one problem, right? It's not as mature as the old way of doing things like LUNs, etc. There's going to be, you know, interesting scale issues, right? In that, in today's data centers where you consume LUNs or NFS mount points, it's about provisioning, say, you know, 5 to 10 LUNs or 20, 50, maybe if you are crazy, 100 LUNs. And that's about it. And then, you know, those become file systems that VMware consumes. And then inside those file systems, you store thousands of virtual machines. That's how the thing works today. But then in this new world, every virtual machine gets to create a distinct object on the storage system. And so now storage systems have to move in terms of scale from managing, you know, tens or hundreds of LANs to managing hundreds of thousands of these tinier virtual volume objects. And unfortunately, you know, when all these storage systems were invented, they weren't invented with virtual volumes in mind. Now, of course, some storage systems can be easily retrofitted, some cannot be. And so we see some very interesting scale issues because the amount of pressure, the scale pressure that VVols are going to put in on the storage system in terms of the number of objects that they're going to transact with, or in terms of the, you know, the type of data services that they are going to invoke that weren't invoked at that level of granularity ever in history. You know, all those things will bring out interesting architectural issues that, you know, storage vendors will potentially have to deal with and solve before VVols actually kind of, you know, is here to stay as a very, very absolutely mature substrate. And it's more ironic, right, because we are talking about the data substrate. So, you know, people are, in general, much more conservative, much more thoughtful when designing in a new change in the way the core data substrate behaves, a core storage system behaves. And so, you know, people will have to think a lot about, whether, you know, their various use cases, you know, data protection, DR, whether the new VVols technology breaks any of their old flows, whether they have to re-architect, rethink the way they do data protection, DR, you know, all that stuff needs to be carefully thought about before, you know, one pushes the button to say that, okay, look, now I'm going to go from a data stores world to the VVols world. And lastly, you know, on the disadvantage part, there are some clear loose ends, right? So in the first iteration of VVols, we are not going to see the same compatibility with VMware's DR solution, which is called Site Recovery Manager. And so I'm told that's going to come in later. And so if you want to marry the VVols and DR, in other words, if you want to provide data disaster recovery services on VMs that are composed out of VVols, then that functionality, unfortunately, doesn't exist. It is kind of work in progress. So, you know, there's going to be a few things that are going to maybe come in later. Some VDI platforms like VMware Horizon View are not necessarily compatible with VVols on day one. So, you know, that functionality is, I'm assuming, you know, being worked on, etc. So there's going to be all these little patches of functionality that, you know, you just need to finish coloring there.
Well, I thank you for coming, for talking to us today, and I appreciate your time.